Good evening, everybody. Dan and Dee, fantastic seeing you guys here. It's been a while, so good seeing you. Austin, glad you're feeling better. Good seeing you, too. I'm sorry, what was that? I didn't hear him, so I'm just gonna move on. What's your name? You, young man, what's your name? Jordan? Good to finally meet you. What a blessing it is to have you here tonight. We've been praying for you guys for a long time, so it's good to see how God moves. Amen? Amen. Tonight I want to talk about plans. I think as we sit in here in the year 2023, as we reflect back at our life, as we look back at where we have been, where God has brought us from, perhaps a life without Christ and how that was and all of the plans that we had for ourselves and all the things that we were going to accomplish, and then they didn't happen for one reason or another. And then we look at our lives in Christ as who we are now in Christ. And still we have these big plans for ourselves and the things that we want to accomplish and the things that we want to be a part of and the things that we want to do. And for whatever reason, maybe those don't happen. I'm here to tell you tonight that the plan that God has for your life is going to trump anything and everything that you could imagine. The hard part about it is when we hear what God has for us, we have a tendency as human beings to take a step back and say, ugh, are you sure you picked the right person? You say, ugh, are you sure you weren't talking to the person behind me? Are you sure that I'm fit to do what you're asking me to do? God doesn't mess up. When He calls you to do something, He's calling you. It's not the person behind you. It's not somebody who's more qualified. It's not somebody who is perhaps a better fit. Because when God is calling you to fit into a hole, it's a perfect fit every time. So if you have your Bibles, we will be in Exodus. Chapter 3 is where we're going to spend the majority of our time, I would say. But we're going to be bouncing back and forth, but I'm going to do something a little bit out of my normal preaching style, and that's we're going to be reading a lot more tonight, so I hope you guys are okay with that. Reading, learning a little bit about Moses, his life, the plan that he had for himself, and then the plan that God had for him. So Exodus chapter 3 is where we'll start. So chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame, a fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Let's pray. Father, as we commit these next few moments to you, God, I pray that you can help us work through your word. God, help us to identify and understand the plan that you have for our lives, God. Help us potentially to accept the life that you have for us, Lord, and that your plans are above all. Our minds are not like yours. Our thoughts are not like yours. God, you are above all. And I pray tonight that we can understand that and we can experience that while we spend this time with you. We love you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Moses. Many of us know the story. Many of us know what he did. He delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. But chapter 3, there were some things that happened prior to his life, prior to this part in his life. And I want to kind of visit those. So in chapter 1, we see that Israel is suffering in Egypt. There was a new Pharaoh in town who didn't know Joseph, so the Israelites went under strict and hard. They were given strict and hard tasks, very hard physical labor that they were to follow through as punishment for what they were doing. And the Pharaoh noticed that there was a population control problem. They kept multiplying and growing stronger and stronger. And the Pharaoh made a decree, and he said, all of the baby boys who are born need to be put to death. We're going to control this Israelite population. Told the Hebrew midwives that whenever there is a boy that is born, he is to be put to death. The girls they're fine. They're good to go. But in chapter 1, verse 19, and the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they all are lively and give birth before the midwives come. Therefore, God dwelt with them, and dwelt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Moses was born into this. Moses shouldn't have made it past birth. The plan that the world had for Moses, that Pharaoh had for Moses, was as soon as he was born, he was to die. That's the plan that the Pharaoh had for all Hebrew baby boys. But when God has a plan for your life, he has a way of overseeing that those plans get carried out. And in chapter 2, this is talking about how Moses was to come. So his mom gave birth, and 3 months after Moses was born, she couldn't keep him anymore. So she made a basket of reeds and sent this little baby down the Nile River, which in itself is dangerous as can be. Crocodiles, hippos, all sorts of snakes and things that are in this river. And this mother had the utmost confidence that God was going to see that this baby was going to survive. So she sends him down the river. The Pharaoh's daughter stumbles upon this reed basket and notices this little baby boy, who she takes up for herself, tells her servant to go find somebody to nurse this child. And as God would have it, it was his mother who was able to nurse him until he became of age and got sent back to the Pharaoh's daughter to be raised for the rest of his life. Now Moses had a pretty good life in Egypt while he was there. He was the Pharaoh's protege. He had pretty much everything he could want, being in the royal family, so to speak, being raised by an Egyptian, could have pretty much whatever he wanted. But then his plans changed. He kind of ruined it for himself, intentionally, actually. And in verse 11 of chapter 2, it says, now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. So he understood that he was part of the family of God. He saw their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Moses' plans from this time, living the high life, doing whatever he wanted, they changed. And it wasn't because of what Pharaoh was doing to him, it was because of a choice that he made. You guys understand that sometimes when we are living our lives, and the choices we make have consequences to those. We could have every intention of doing whatever we wanted to do, and then we slip up one time. Slip up, screw up, and the life we know is no longer. The life that we were comfortable living in isn't what it used to be. The life that we were so looking forward to living for our whole lives gets changed because of a stupid decision that we made. All of our things, all of our possessions, all of the things that we yearn for as human beings, it just goes away like that because of a decision that we choose to make. Moses was, he had it all. Blew it. Verse 13, chapter 2. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill us, to kill me, as you killed the Egyptian? Even though Moses had buried this man in the sand, even though Moses had thought he had covered up the mistake that he had made, people noticed, and they called him out on it. And guess who caught wind of it? Granddaddy Pharaoh. And guess what? When he realized that Moses killed an Egyptian, he sent out to kill Moses. Moses' plans changed again. He leaves the country, flees to Midian, where his plans would be changed yet again. he comes to a well, and the Jethro's daughters are drawing water, and shepherds come and push him out of the way. Well, Moses comes and takes the water from these, takes the water back to water the flock. And Jethro says, how are you guys back in time so soon? How is it possible you guys make this great time? And his daughters say, this man, this Egyptian, helped us out. And he says, well, where is he? Go get him. So he comes back, and in verse 20 he said to his daughters, and where is he? Why is that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Then Moses was content to live with the man. He gave Zipporah for his wife to Moses. She bore him a son, and the lineage continues. What's important here, now Moses' life had changed. And what is said here in verse 21, then Moses was content to live with this man. He had it all. He made a mistake. Now he's running off to be a shepherd in the wilderness, content with the lifestyle that he had given to himself. Content that he was going to be a shepherd tending to a flock for the rest of his life. And that's how we get to chapter 3, where we want to spend the majority of the time. Chapter 3, verse 1, I'll reread it. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. But the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. 40 years Moses spent in Egypt. Fast forward 40 years, about an 80-year-old man. He is serving his father-in-law, Jethro, completely content with the lot that he had in life. He thought, I'm going to kick back and be a shepherd for the rest of my life. Kick back, not have to do anything. Kick back, relax a little bit. I'm fine with where my decision has gotten me in life. But as God does, he shows up. As God does, he had another plan for Moses. As God does, he spoke up. I have a friend. Many of you met him, Tim. He's okay with me sharing this. So in August, I had a meeting with him, and we were walking back from the meeting, and he had everything. He was living his life the way he wanted to. He got saved when he was a young kid, but completely cut God out of his life. Figured, I would do the things that I want to do. The plan that I have for my life is going to be what I want it to be. And when I need God, if I need God, I'll call on him. He was a head wrestling coach at Southside. Passion. Wrestling was his passion. He loved it. Getting to know kids, trying to improve their home lives, all the things that would come with a coach. He loved doing that. Well, he had two kids. Out of wedlock, wasn't married, didn't care, was fine with doing things the way that he wanted to do. And then one day, God showed up and said, we're done with this lifestyle. We're done doing it your way. And as he was telling me these things, he said, Phil, he was fired as a wrestling coach. God took that away from him. He had to go work a second shift job. God took his family away. He didn't have much time to spend with two little kids. Took them away. And he said, Phil, it's like God took everything from me so that it was just me and him. So that I would understand that he's here and I'm here. And the plans that I had were not the plans that God had for me. Moses in the wilderness, he had plans. God showed up. And when God shows up, he has a way of grabbing our attention, doesn't he? Now, some of us might have gotten really good at when you hear the Holy Spirit saying, ugh, don't want any part of it, trying to brush off what God is calling you to do. When you hear the Spirit, when you feel that Spirit prodding you and telling you to do something, some of us have gotten very good at ignoring, disobeying, doing our plan and cutting God out of it completely. What he does here with Moses, he's got him alone. He says, it's just you and me, Moses. And there's a bush that's on fire. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight and why this bush does not burn. He recognizes that this is out of the ordinary. There's something different. Why is this bush not, we're in the desert. Why is this bush not igniting and burning to pieces? So when the Lord saw that he turned to look aside, God called from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. When God realized that he had Moses' attention, what's he do? He calls him out. He says, Moses, Moses. And Moses' response here, he says, here I am. He understood at that moment that it's me and God. It's me and God. It's me and God. What does he have for me? In verse 5, and by the way, well, we'll get to that in a second. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. When God calls you to do something, when he has a plan set for you, for your life, you need to know your place. He's calling Moses in to humble himself. You see, there was about this much of a sole of a sandal, about a quarter inch, half of an inch, that was separating Moses from the ground. To us, not that big of a deal. Not that big of a deal. You say, I got shoes on, I wear shoes all the time. Yeah, so do I. What was the problem? Why did God command him to take off the sandals? Well, it's holy ground. If you're saying that you're willing to stand this much higher than God, you're in the wrong spot. Stand this much higher than God and say, I can see just a little bit above you, God. Yeah, I like your plan, but do you want to hear what mine is? Yeah, God, I hear what you want me to do, but what if I do this instead? Yeah, God, but, yeah, God, but, until we take off our sandals and get even keel with God and the plan that he has for our lives, we're always going to think we know better. And truth be told, we don't. Because if we did, we wouldn't act like, our plans would never change. Moses, four different times, his plans changed from what he thought they were going to be. Coming up on another one, because God spoke to him. He acknowledged that God was speaking to him. He understood that, okay, I'm here now, God is here. And when God calls, expect a change. It's game time. Sandals off your feet, for this place you stand on is holy ground. He got Moses' attention. Moses is starting to understand, okay, something is going to happen. And then verses 6 through 10, which we're going to read, is all about God hearing Israel's cry. God has a plan for Moses, and this is what it is. Verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He started to take God a little more serious now. When he was called out, when it was just him and God was speaking to him, Moses couldn't even look at him. It was him and God, and he understood that it was him and God, and that, like I said, like I might say a few more times, he was here, and God was here, and his plan was about to change. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because they're taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Sounds pretty good right there, right? If we just stop there, Moses is like, cool, God, do it. That sounds pretty good. That sounds like a great idea. I heard him cry too when I lived in Egypt. Well, maybe you should deliver him out of there. When God calls us to do something, we always say, yeah, it would be a good idea for that to happen. If you started this church and God gave you a vision to start these ministries like you did, you could have easily said, it would be a good thing to have that in Huntington County. It'd be a good thing for another church to do that. It'd be a good thing for somebody else to serve in this ministry. But when God's calling you to something, He expects you to do it. Verse 9. Now, therefore, for behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppress them. It's getting good now. Verses 6 through 9, God's plan. Here's what He's saying. Here's the problem. I hear that my people are crying out to me. I know that they're being oppressed. I know that the things are going. I'm going to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And here's where Moses comes in. Because he says in verse 10, come now, therefore, I will send you, to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. When we hear God's plan, or we hear a plan that God is doing in somebody's life, when we hear about the things that He's doing in other people's life, we are the first ones to say, man, that's awesome. Man, good for you. God's really moving. God's really doing things in your life. God's really doing fantastic things. That's so cool. I wish I could do that. We don't really mean it. Because when God tells us, come now, therefore, I will send you, a little bit of cold feet, don't we? Say, God, that's not what I thought I was going to be doing. God, that's not what I had envisioned for the rest of my life to look like. God, I didn't really want to sacrifice this time away from this thing that I like doing to spend more time in Your Word, to spend more time in the church house, to spend more time in prayer. It all sounds good when it's somebody else's plan. It all sounds good and looks good when we can watch it and distance ourselves from it. But when God is calling you, how do you react? When God is saying, you are going to do this, you are going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. It's just you and God. How do you react? How do you say, yes, God, here I am, like Moses did? He had no clue what he was getting into. He had no clue what God had planned for him. Verses 6 through 9 sounded like a pretty good plan. And then God said, I want you. What was that, Uncle Sam, when he was the draft, I want you? That was the deal, right? I want you. And you get drafted. Go to Vietnam. And you didn't have a choice. You did it. This call in your life is bigger than any call, any plan that you could have for yourself. When God is calling out to you, it's important that you listen. It's important that you do what He's asking you to do. Why? I'll tell you, I've told you guys this before. When God told me that He wanted me to preach, 3 years, I ran away from it. 3 years, I said, ugh, got the wrong guy. 3 years, I said, nope, I'll be fine with serving in children's church. And there's nothing wrong with doing those things. But when God's calling you to do something else, something that you're not going to be content, or you thought that you were content doing, and God calls you to do something else, it's a little bit of a change. When He singles you out and He takes away the things in your life so it's just you and Him, it's important to listen. Because I can tell you and I can testify that when you're doing things outside of the plan that God has for your life, it's not very fulfilling. It's not very fun. It's not very exciting in your life. It's kind of miserable, to be honest with you. Those 3 years, it was miserable. And then one day, for whatever reason, God said, we're done. We're doing it. And I said, okay. I don't know what it took to snap out of it, but I said, okay, we'll do it. You know, this was not the plan for my life. This was not the plan that I had. When I was a kid, I wanted to be an architect. I thought I was going to design buildings. I wanted to build skyscrapers in Chicago, you know. And then I was like, that's dumb. I'm not going to do that. So I wanted to be a veterinarian. I watched a lot of Crocodile Hunter. So I was like, oh, I could do that. I could definitely do that. Well, that changed. I was like, I'm not going to do that. And then I got real into law enforcement. Went to schooling. That's where I got my degree in, actually. So I'm going to do law enforcement. I'm going to be a police officer. I like serving people. I like being there for them. This is what I want to do. That plan changed. I work at Fort Wayne Metals. I make strands and cables for medical devices. I'm standing up here on Wednesday nights preaching the word of God. Why? Because if it was my plan, if my plan was still working, I'd be, I don't know where I'd be, but I wouldn't be here. I would not be here. But I will tell you this, you know, I kind of reminisce about the things I wanted to do and the things that I thought I could have done. It really doesn't matter that much to me anymore. It really doesn't bother me that I'm serving the Most High God the way that He asked me to do it. No, it wasn't without backlash. It wasn't without questioning. It wasn't without uncertainty. And are you sure? Because what Moses asks in verse 11 is the same thing I asked when I got the call. Maybe you guys are asking yourselves this question tonight. And he said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I, God, that you want me to sing in the worship band? Who am I that you want me to start a children's ministry in this church? Who am I that you want me to serve every night down at the soup kitchen? Who am I that you want me to teach and preach the word of God? Who am I?" And then you start to think back about all the things, all of the instances, all of the occurrences, all of the things that God did for you leading up to that point. Moses, who was a better fit? He spent 40 years in Egypt. He knew the customs. He knew the ordinances. He knew the laws in Egypt. He knew everything about Egypt. He was right under the Pharaoh. He knew everything there was to know. His mom was the princess, for crying out loud. He knew about Egypt. And then guess what happened when he made that mistake and spent the next 40 years of his life in the wilderness? I'm sorry. Did he not understand? He had 80 years of experience to go back to Egypt and then to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt into the wilderness. He might never put those two things together. Like, oh, I have been to Egypt. I've done these things. I've done this. I've spent the last 40 years in the wilderness. He was the most qualified person to do the job. Not because of what his experience were, those helped, but because God was calling him to do it. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and God said, "This is what you're doing for me." And he has the question that many of us ask is, who am I to do these things? Not knowing that he was the most qualified person in the world to do it at the time. Can you guys think of a time where God has called you to do something and you begin to look back, or maybe in retrospect you do it now? Oh yeah, I can see how God needed me to do this, because this is what he was leading me up to in my life. Oh yeah, I remember that one time when I was ready for this and God prepared me all along the way. I didn't know it at the time. Anyone have that conversation? I didn't know it at the time, but this is what God was leading me to. And now you can connect the dots and see all along the way God was there. Moses, as a baby boy, supposed to die. Moses, as a young adult, kills an Egyptian. He was supposed to die there. Pharaoh sent out to kill him. God was with him. God was with him the entirety of the way. And as he asked this question, God's answer to it, verse 12, he said, "I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." The first sentence of that verse, "I will be with you." That's what God's response was to Moses. We get so worked up about the things that God's asked us to do, and as if you read the rest of this, verses 13 to 22, it's all about God telling Moses what to do, and he has rebuttals for everything. He has questions about everything. He's not sure because it doesn't match up with what's going on in his brain. It doesn't match up with how things should be going. But God has a plan in each step. Every time we think about what God is asking us to do, we too have these same questions. Who am I? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know how to get started. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. I don't know if I'm capable of doing what you're asking me to do. And you know what his response is? It's the same as what he told Moses. I am with you. I will be with you. In verses 13 to 22, God plans out the rest of what he wants Moses to do. He explains to him in great detail what is going to happen, what he needs him to do, what is going to be. Moses is still questioning the entire thing because he's a human being. He's not quite sure that he's cut out for it. In verse chapter 4, I want to read this little part in closing. He's going on and on about, he's still arguing with God or raising up questions to God. In verse chapter 4, verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Guys, we will come up with any excuse to not do something. It doesn't even have to be from God. We will come up with any excuse to not just not do something. It's just how it is. I don't want to do that. My hangnail's pretty bad. I would, but I can't. I would, but my shoes aren't the right color, so I can't go. I'd go to church, but I don't have church clothes. I'd do this, but and we have excuse after excuse after excuse, and then we got a whole bunch of them. Then we hear other people's excuses and say, oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I'm going to use that next time. I've already run through my 25 that I go to. Well, that 26 one, that's really going to throw a wrench in it. Moses says, God, I can't talk. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I can't do what you're asking me to do. God has a plan for that too. Because he says in verse 11, so the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. God has a plan for everybody in this room. I asked at the beginning, maybe I didn't, but I'll ask now. Did you think on January 18th, 2023, you look back 5 years ago, that you would be in this church house tonight? Shaking his head, no. No. Many of us didn't think that we would be where we're at tonight in life, in this building, in a relationship with God the Father. Many of us are still skirting the fence, wondering if his plan is truly better than ours, wondering if he can really make a difference in our lives, wondering if leaving our lifestyle and the things that we're doing, the things that we're comfortable with, is it really worth following, doing what God's asked you to do and us to do, is it worth it? It is. Friends, I could stand up here all night telling you how worth it is, my experiences, my stories, the things that God has pulled me from, the things that, the excuses that I had for God the Father. Chapter 4, verse 12, 11 says, who made man's mouth? Who made the deaf, the mute? Who made these things? Did he not ask Job, were you there when I created the oceans? Were you walking with me in the depths? God is here. We're somewhere here. Our plans are here. God has a plan for your life. I beg you tonight to follow him. I beg you. But I can't make you do it. I can't make you follow it. it's worth it.